Today's date is a date of significance in the history of Sovereign Grace OPC. You may remember that, 5 years ago, I was ordained in the ministry, and Janae and I celebrated our five-year wedding anniversary yesterday. Time goes fast, doesn't it? But what an honor to continue to preach the Word of God and to have done that here for the last 5 years, six including my internship. But I'm glad to be able to serve you and to serve the Lord here. Let's turn to our scripture reading, which comes from Philippians chapter 3, the verses 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And in some ways, this week's sermon and next week's sermon is kind of a two-part series here, kind of setting up the Reformation Day and the themes of the Reformation. And we'll begin that this morning. And I'll be focusing specifically in this sermon on Philippians 3, verse 1, and next week we'll continue on through these 11 verses. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal, persecuting the church, for the legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from Philippians chapter 3. As I said, this morning we are focusing specifically on verse 1. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 is a somewhat controversial verse in the book of Philippians. And the reason that this verse is controversial is because it comes at a key transition point in the book. There is discussion as to whether verse 1 actually belongs in chapter 2 or chapter 3. And some people even take the position that it should be split in half. In fact, the New English Bible, I don't think anybody has that this morning, but the New English Bible does actually split the verse in half, putting, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord," in chapter 2, and the last part of the verse in chapter 3. Why such controversy? Well, I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that as we conclude chapter 2, there are some people who believe that chapter 1 and 2 are one letter, and chapter 3 and 4 are another letter, meaning that there are those who believe that the book of Philippians is actually two letters put together. And the reason they take this position is because as Paul ends chapter 2, he describes his plans to send Timothy, his plans to send Epaphroditus, his plans to come to the Philippians himself. And as some people would read verse 1 of chapter 3, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord," the conclusion. But of course, we know that God's word has been preserved for 2,000 years, that God does not preserve a letter in such a way for us to try to split it up in half. But God has put these two letters together, linking them together with Philippians 3, verse 1, for a particular reason, so that we can see the truth that God is seeking to teach us by connecting chapters 1 and 2 and chapters 3 and 4. And God has sovereignly used Philippians 3, verse 1, to do this very thing. And so for us to find this link and this connection, it is important for us, first of all, to look at the last part of chapter 3. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. The key to solving this dilemma is to understand what Paul means when he writes the same things. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. There are different opinions about what Paul is referring to. There are some who say that when Paul writes the same things, he is referring back to Philippians 1, verse 27. There he writes, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith in the gospel." They would take the position that Paul is, again, as he is writing verse 3, as he refers to the same things, he is telling the people and reminding them once again that they must conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, they must live worthy of their faith in Christ, and they must stand up to the persecution. Paul has said it before, they would say, and Paul is saying it again. A second opinion are those who say that when Paul writes the same things in chapter 3, verse 1, he is referring to the more immediate context. He is planning to send Epaphroditus with a letter back to the Philippians. Later, he is planning to send Timothy with a letter back to the Philippians, and he plans to go himself to the Philippians. And so Paul is only referring to the immediate context in which he is reinforcing the very same things that he has already said to them, and he is sending again and will send again. Then there's the third opinion. The first two opinions, you have noticed, have linked the first verse of chapter 3 with what Paul has said before. The third opinion links the chapter 3, verse 1, to what Paul is going to say later. It links the same things to what Paul declares in verses 2 and 3. "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence." They link it with those who teach salvation by the flesh, those who look to their own ability to keep the law, their own things that they do in serving God, and what they believe gives them confidence for their salvation. And they would say, who hold this opinion, that as Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 1, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again," that Paul is referring to specifically chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, which teaches about confidence in the flesh. Well, which opinion is correct? As you can see, the main gist of these opinions either connects the verse with the first part of the letter or the second part of the letter. What we seek to do and understand this morning is to connect both parts of the letter together in chapter 3, verse 1. The key to understanding this verse and how Paul is using it is to recognize that the last part of verse 3 should be taken to be an aside. It is almost as if you could put parentheses around this part of the verse, as if Paul is making a statement, then he makes a few comments off to the aside, and then he gets back to his main point once again. Let's read it that way. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. parentheses, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you," parentheses. "Watch out for those dogs." You see, if you were to read it in that particular way, the main flow of what Paul is teaching us is connecting the first part of verse 1 with the first part of verse 2. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord," verse 2. "Watch out for those dogs." Paul has connected two imperatives together. The main line of his writing, the verb connecting with the verb, the flow of what he is trying to say, is connecting the first part, the first verb of chapter 3, verse 1, "rejoice in the Lord," with the first part of verse 2, "watch out for these dogs." You see the contrast the apostle is making. Rejoice in the Lord, watch out, beware of those dogs. The apostle is linking everything he has said before with what he is going to say later. The center point of this letter comes together in the linking of rejoice in the Lord and beware or watch out for those dogs. But what is this contrast? Well, think about what he's saying when he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord." The apostle has used the word rejoice already two other times in the book of Philippians. In chapter 1, verse 18, he writes this, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice." Paul uses the word rejoice in the first person. It is Paul who must be the one who rejoices in difficult circumstances. He finds himself under persecution from the Romans in a prison. He finds himself dealing with difficulties within the church body, those who are stirring up trouble for him. Yet he continues to rejoice. He rejoices in all circumstances. He will say it again, "I will rejoice." Paul uses the word rejoice also in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 18, he writes this, "So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Now, the first time he was using the word, he was connecting it in the first person. "I will rejoice." Now, in verse 18, he's encouraging the Philippians to rejoice. You too, the second person, you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Not only does he rejoice in his circumstances, he wants the Philippians to rejoice in their circumstances. They also are facing persecution. They also are dealing with internal church troubles. Rejoice with me, is Paul's wording. But now as we come to the middle of the letter, in chapter 3, verse 1, notice what he writes, first of all. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." First he has said, "I will rejoice." Then he tells the Philippians to rejoice with him. And he concludes in chapter 3, verse 1, beginning the new section of his letter, "My brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. Paul is demonstrating for them and reminding to them once again who they are in their relationship to the Lord. What gives them cause to rejoice? What should be the focus of their rejoicing in their Christian life and as they face the circumstances in their church situation? They're in the Lord. They belong to Christ. They are in Him. They are united with Him as their Savior. They rejoice because Jesus has died for their sins. They rejoice because Jesus has perfectly obeyed the law, that Jesus has provided salvation, and they belong to Him. "My brothers," he writes, "rejoice in the Lord." But what is the contrast? What verb, what command, contrast the rejoicing in the Lord? verse 2 of chapter 3. Watch out. Beware of those dogs. Those men who do evil. Those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. You see, Paul is describing the life of a Christian. Those who worship by the Spirit of God, verse 3. Those who glory in Christ Jesus. Those who put no confidence in the flesh. You see, one of the difficulties that's going on in the church of Philippi, one of the things that is causing so much difficulty within their midst, are those who are focused and have their confidence in the flesh. Those who take glory that they were circumcised, thus they belong to God. Those who claim that by their works, by the things that they do in their life, in their supposedly Christian life, by their keeping the law, by their doing their good things, they are to rejoice and find confidence in their flesh, is what they're being told. In fact, he goes on to describe these people in chapter 3, verse 19. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Those who are causing these difficulties in the church are focused on earthly things. They do not rejoice in the Lord. They are seeking to rejoice in their own abilities, in their own circumcision, in their own flesh, in the things that they claim to be doing for the sake of God, for their salvation, and for their joy, and for their hope for the future. Their focus is on their own selves. Their focus is on the righteous things that they are doing. Their glory is in what they have accomplished. Paul's warning, verse 2, beware of them. Watch out for what they are teaching you. Why? Because those who find their confidence in the flesh and in their works have no cause for rejoicing. If you think of all the religions in the world and the works that are required of those who belong to those religions, the Islam, and their faithfulness in praying, in their faithfulness in bowing each and every day at specific times, in a specific direction, the things they're not allowed to eat, the specific fasting that they do. If you think of the works that are required of a Jehovah Witness in their witnessing, of the Mormons and the things that are required in their religion, there is no rejoicing in those things. They always have more to do. There is always more required. There is always more things that are required of them in the flesh for them to have their confidence in their supposed salvation. There is no rejoicing in that. And Paul is making that contrast in Philippians. He's saying, finally, my brothers, rejoice in what? Not in yourself, not in what you do. Rejoice about your position in the Lord. The Christian has reason to rejoice because he belongs to Jesus. The Christian has reason to rejoice because Jesus has done the work, because Jesus has died, because Jesus is in heaven, and because they belong to Him. There is overwhelming reasons to rejoice about the wondrous grace of God that He has poured out upon His people when the Christians recognize who they are in Christ Jesus. But if they're seeking to rejoice in the works that they put upon themselves, in the fleshly deeds that they try to do, so that they can know and have confidence that what they are doing is right before God. If their focus is on that, there will be no cause for rejoicing. You see, if the people in Philippi understood what union with Christ means, if they understood what that meant for their lives and who they are, they wouldn't be having the problems that they're having. They would completely understand why difficult times are upon them. They would completely understand those who have selfish ambitions and think of themselves better than others. They would understand that the people who are living that way are focused on the flesh and not upon Christ and their position in Him. Paul is making this contrast for the people to see the link between the beginning of the letter and the end of the letter. Let's read that middle part again of verse 3, the parentheses. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. What is the safeguard? Why do they need a safeguard? Well, the safeguard is they're rejoicing in the Lord. The safeguard is to understand that they belong to Jesus Christ, that they are united with Him. And if they rejoice in that, if they understand what that means for their lives, they won't fall into the works of the flesh. They won't be tempted to listen to those who take glory in their works and find confidence in their circumcision or whatever it is they are seeking to do for their salvation. Their confidence is in themselves, and if they understand what it means to rejoice in the Lord, they have their safeguard. And so, again, as he writes in the first part of that parenthesis section, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. He is again reinforcing this idea that they belong to Jesus Christ. And as he begins to address even more specifically the problems in Philippi, those who participate in the works of the flesh, he is again repeating the same things again. The same thing that every believer of every age needs to always remember and hear again and again. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in yourself. Don't rejoice in all the great things that you think you do. Rejoice in the Lord. And as you rejoice in the Lord and find your confidence in Him, the life will flow out of that understanding and of that confidence. Paul is linking together the first part of his letter and the second part of his letter. In the first part of his letter, he has established what it means to rejoice in the Lord. Without the first part of the letter, we couldn't understand the full force of that verse, rejoice in the Lord. And he's linking it with what he has now to say, specifically to address their problems, the difficulties within the body, those who are focused on the flesh and on their life on this earth, not their life in heaven. Now, as Paul goes on in those verses, and we'll see this even more in depth next Sunday, he's talking about how faithful he was as a Jew. There's no one as faithful as Paul was. Look what he writes again at the end of verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, that was me. I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. Paul understands that life. Paul understands those who find confidence in the flesh because he lived that life. But once he understood his Lord, there was no more. The Christian today can also fall into seeking confidence in the flesh. Paul mentions here specifically those who are of the circumcision. Well, so they were saying, if I'm circumcised, that means I'm of God, so I've done something to deserve salvation. Confidence in the flesh. I'm baptized, so I must belong to God. I'm part of a church, I must belong to God. I participate in the Lord's Supper. I serve in the church, I do various things. I'm homeschooling my kids. I'm trying to be faithful. God's going to bless me. All these things are going to give me confidence in the flesh. You see, the Christian today can fall into the same thing. The same understanding of instead of rejoicing in the Lord and what Christ has done for you, you're rejoicing and you're seeking to know that rejoicing comes from the various works and things that you try to do to protect yourself for the future, for Christ. No, says Paul, find your confidence in your Lord. Rejoice in Him. Don't seek to rejoice in what you can do. Don't seek to rejoice in your fleshly things. Seek to rejoice in what God has done. And may what you do because of what God has done reflect what God has done in your life. That your life will be consistent with what it means to belong to Jesus. Paul is contrasting these things for us to see. And it is no trouble, he writes in parentheses, for him to say this to them again. This is his life. This should be their life. And he knows from his own experience that this is the safeguard for the Christians and for the church. Rejoice in Christ, not in yourself, and you will rejoice forevermore. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the Apostle Paul and how he is reminding us once again of our confidence in our Savior. May we, Lord, find our cause to rejoice in Christ and what He has done, not in, Lord, what we seek to do. May, Father, our confidence be in our risen Lord who sits on the throne in heaven, who has delivered us from our sins, and who enables us to know Him and rejoice because of His accomplishments, not our own. And, Lord, as we again begin to reflect on the time of the Reformation, even specifically more next week, we pray that we may always be thankful for your grace. For when we understand that it is only through you and by your grace that we are delivered, we completely know and rejoice. For Christ has done it all, and we are his. May this be the focus of our life forevermore. Amen.